Hello, everyone. We are back for another episode, and today I am thrilled to introduce you to our guest, Tony Jacobson from Unbreakable, and his story is powerful beyond your wildest imagination. And he is on a mission and doing really beautiful, amazing things in this world with his story, with his medicine, and how he's touching lives. And make sure that you listen to the end, share this out, and get it in the hands of people that it can serve so that we can help impact their lives as well with his wisdom and his experience and how to utilize everything that has been a challenge and make it unbreakable. So, hi, Tony.
Hello, Jen. How are you? Hello, everybody. Thank you for checking out this episode.
Yes. So we first met in Honore's group, which is an author group. I think it was Publishing PhD or one of those. And one of my favorite spaces to hang out because I get to meet really fascinating people and authors. And that's how you and I came into contact. And I learned a little bit about your book, but not so much about your story yet. So I want to open the floor and let people what it is. You have a disease, right, that affected your bones, and you've had so many surgeries and went through so many different things.
Yeah.
How did you get through all of that to where you are now, where you're impacting the lives of others and helping them through their challenges?
Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me here today. It's incredible because actually today, as we're recording this, it's Rare Disease Day throughout the world. So it's so awesome because I actually have a rare disease, a rare disorder, and it's called osteogenesis imperfecta. Go ahead, say that five times fast. I'll wait. But osteogenesis imperfecta, also known as OI, or it's most commonly known as brittle bones disease. And it's a collagen disorder that affects the strength of the bones and the way the bone formation is it's imperfect. That's why it's imperfecta. So I have fragile bones, and it affects other parts of the body, but it's mostly brittle bone disease. So it's a genetic disorder. I was born with it, and I have type 1, which is a more mild form of it, but still yet I've broken about 75 times throughout my life. Wow. Because of this, also, I have had 12 surgeries. I have steel rods in my legs, in all the long bones in my legs. I have steel rods that I've had since I was a kid. And also because of it, you know, I had most of my fractures when I was younger. So I used a wheelchair when I was a kid throughout most of my childhood. And then I started walking on crutches later on in life in high school. And then eventually took my first unassisted steps when I was 24 years old. So that's when I started walking, unlike most folks who start walking when they're babies. I didn't walk until I was in my early 20s.
Tell me about that, like just the amount of emotion that must have felt. Like, do you remember those first steps and like how that felt in your heart and just the accomplishment?
Yeah, it was pretty fascinating because I didn't realize it until years later almost. You know, when you're in your early 20s, it's almost like you have a different attitude on life, right? Mm-hmm. And you don't realize the impact of some things that occur. But for me, it didn't occur until later on in life, but I realized how important that time was for me, and realizing the independence and freedom and all of the trauma that I had experienced prior to that of just being limited, being in a wheelchair, walking on the crutches, having so many issues, you know, having the inaccessibility to things because of not walking. I didn't realize like how much of an impact that had on me until kind of years later, but through, you know, because I didn't do anything physically even after I started walking. And I think that's why I didn't have such a mental impact at the time. But it wasn't until I kind of went through my physical transformation later on in life that I realized how important that step was for me, those first actual steps, and learning how to walk, learning how to do something that seems so basic, But having to learn that at such a, later on in life, at that age, it was pretty fascinating and interesting. I talk about it in the book, and yeah, it was really a big moment, and to understand that process.
And do you feel the physical transformation led to also the emotional and spiritual transformation as well? Were they interconnected for you at that time, or was it all like a matrix, like connected together? One took you on one journey to the next.
Yeah, it was very much a journey. Like once I started walking, like I said, I didn't really do anything physical because I was still afraid of breaking bones and,
of course,
kind of putting myself back into the situations that I was in before. So that led to me being very unhealthy throughout my 20s and 30s. And so, when I started to get to near my 40s, I knew I had to do something different. I knew I needed to get healthier. I had a major health scare that had nothing to do with my OI.
A completely separate incident.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was overweight. I was, just not in good health. And I had issues with my heart. And the doctor had said I may have had a heart attack.
Wow. So
that was kind of a trigger for me, even beyond the OI and everything of my disability, to say, hey, you have to figure this out. You have to get a grip on and embrace this disability so that you can get healthier. Because everything with brittle bones and OI is the exact opposite of like exercise and lifting
weights. You have to be safe, right?
Right, and you have to be safe. And I didn't know any of that. I had no idea of like how to handle that. So when I went through the physical transformation, when I finally was able to kind of get my mind straight and figure out how to start exercising, it absolutely was a transformation, not only physically, but mentally, psychologically, spiritually. Everything was involved because my entire life changed. Everything changed.
Well, what was that pivotal moment for the mindset of being in one framework where you're trying to stay safe and protecting your bones, and yeah, into now that you have to do this exercise? And I imagine there was a huge leap of faith and trust your own physical body as well.
Yeah.
Like, how did you retrain, reprogram your brain to know that you could do those things and become unbreakable and go beyond your wildest imagination? Like you destroyed the limitations to a certain degree. You crushed them.
Absolutely. I had to. But it was a process. I call it the gap. It was the time between when I said, well, I have to do something, and then the time that I actually did something. And that during that gap time was really the learning of, like I said, embracing the disability, looking at the things that I could do instead of things I couldn't do, because I was so very used to, and a lot of people with physical disabilities are very used to looking at the things that you can't do and making a list of those things that you can't do, and not doing something in life because you can't do it, mm-hmm, as opposed to, well, what can I do? Let me just look at the things that I can do. And so it was a mental chess game for me to really move those pieces around, look at my past, think about my childhood, think about all of those years of living. What was it that was stopping me? Mm-hmm. And when I found out it was the words, be careful, that was stopping me, that's when things changed. So for me, it was like, oh, I just realized I'm just keep saying these things to myself, right?
Right.
So it was retraining my brain around the things that I thought, retraining the way that I felt people looked at me, retraining the way that I felt society looked at me, and then ultimately retraining the way I looked at myself and the way that I felt about myself too. Like, I deserve this. I deserve to be healthy. I deserve to, push myself in new ways. There had been years, by the time I kind of went through my transformation, I had been with my wife for many years, and she's very active and very physical, and she was always pushing me to do things, but not in a way that was, harmful or hurtful. But she was always encouraging and saying, hey, you can do this, you can do this. And I still, with my, be careful brain,
right,
would say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. So it was a lot of steps where I even had to say, man, T was right. You know, I need to look at the things that people tell me and say, you know, where can I push myself a little bit?
Words every wife wants to hear.
Right. And like, yeah, she was right. She was
She
right.
was right.
And it's true. And
And
it's
she was
like,
right because she saw the real you. She knew all along that you could do it, right?
right.
And
And that
that's
was
what
part
you're
of the
doing for others right now, which is just, it makes my heart feel so expansive to see what you're doing and stepping
Thank
out
you.
into the world.
Yeah.
When you wrote the book, did you already have that vision, or did it come through originally for your personal practice and just share your story, and then it grew into what it is now? Or what do you
Yeah.
feel? Did you know that you were going to be impacting this many lives?
No, not at all. When I went through it, when I was going through the process, I would always say at some point, because I was working with a personal trainer, and at some point I started to say, yeah, I'm disabling my disability today. I'm working out, I'm
Wait, say
disabling
that
my
again.
disability.
That is amazing.
Yeah, I would start to say, I'm disabling my disability. So
Yes.
once that kind of term came to me and I started saying it, and I was telling people, then it just got me excited. And I realized, like, kind of after the transformation, and you know, I always knew I wanted to write a book, but I never had the theme yet, or the through line, or exactly what it should be. But then it really hit where it was like, yeah, it's time to write this book. And I didn't call it Disable My Disability, I call it Disable Your Disability, because it was not for me. I already did mine. Now it was for the world. Now it was for the reader. Now it was for someone who may have been in the situation that I was in, and that wanted to get to where I was, where they wanted to disable their disability. So it was really kind of going through that process and realizing, you know, I do have a book now that I can write, that's solid, that has a great message, that tells a portion of my story, and I can actually give some great tips and advice for people to disable their disabilities, to really think differently and get and stay healthy.
That is just amazing. And we'll make sure that we put all of the links in the show notes to make sure everybody knows how to get a hold of you and your work. And I think you even have a special discount for the listeners as well. And we'll put that in the show note
Absolutely. I
as
absolutely
well.
do. Yeah.
What do you want people to know that are listening, whether they're disabled or not disabled? How can they get your message out and help you have a bigger impact?
You know, they, like everyone says, the best way, the most helpful way to get it out is to share. Is to share wherever you can. You know, you can support my movement through purchasing products as well, like through my website, buying my book, you know, pointing people to my online adaptive fitness platform. You know, I have many different resources that are available, but the best way is to share, is to share. If you, but I mean, I always say with Disable Your Disability, with the book, yes, it's for someone that has a disability, but it's for anybody who wants to just kind of disable those barriers that they have in their mind. It's for anyone who feels they can't get healthy. If they're having that struggle, that challenge of like, yeah, I just don't think I can do this, read my book, because you're going to see that if I can do it, you can do it. And there's methods and ways to get it done. So you just have to really, you know, get the book and read it. And look, if you get the book, I guarantee you know somebody that can use this message and can you know, take it to heart to disable their disability and be unbreakable. So again, sharing, you know, get the book, share it with somebody. And that's the best way. That's the best way that we can really get this out there.
I think that's incredible. And I've had the pleasure of working with people and dancing with people who have crushed their limitations. I remember when I was still teaching professional dance with my husband, and we had a Latin night, and there was a champion ballroom dancer that would come to our events who was in a really severe car accident and lost his leg. And he was one of my favorite people to dance with. And he was incredible, and he would use the supporting leg, and he could hop and move and dance, and we would have a blast. And I will never forget the way he made me feel on the dance floor, because he crushed all of my limitations by dancing with me. I mean, it's so motivating and inspirational for me to see people move through to the other side. And just say, no, I'm not done yet. I've got things to do in this world. And I think that's something that I would like to see all of my listeners do, is really start leaning in and looking at people differently. And I just like we do for ourselves, we see our weaknesses. Don't look at people's weaknesses, but look at their strengths, because there's always, always so much goodness there.
Yeah.
If we can all shine that light, I think it would just make such an impact in this world.
And I think also, just to speak on that a little bit, it's like a lot of people with disabilities have an issue being an inspiration for people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I encourage the opposite. We are all an inspiration for somebody, regardless mm-hmm. of our situation. If we're disabled, Agreed. If we're not disabled, everybody has the opportunity to be an inspiration to somebody. And why would we want to stop that? Mm-hmm. Why would you want to stop that? Regardless of what your situation is, you can't really make a call on who you're going to inspire. So why put a limit on who you can inspire? Inspire anybody that you can.
It's true. I've been inspired by children on the playground. I've been inspired by animals in the dog park. Like really, truly, sometimes it's the most simple things, just by people watching, mm-hmm. that really anchors into my heart and makes me see things through a different set of eyes.
Yeah. And you never know what the situation is that will be the, you know, quote unquote, inspirational moment. It could be the simplest of things that mm-hmm. can inspire someone to have a better day and to change the course of their life. So, you know, it could be anything that you do personally. It doesn't have to be this grand gesture. It can be something very simple in your life that you just do. Someone sees that or hears it, and they get inspired to change their life. And that's a beautiful thing.
Well, to me, I think everything has a domino effect too.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Like, and that's what I'm going for. And I know you are too, is like how to see that spread, or just acts of kindness, watching that spread like wildfire.
Yeah.
And it is, it can be very extravagant, or it can be incredibly simple. But it's just like that humanness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Paying attention, I think, being aware, seeing, noticing, and also stepping forward to do our part is so massive. And I'm so glad I got to spend time with you today. My heart is so full.
This is great. Yeah, I'm so happy that we were able to cross paths. You know, I mean, that's another thing. You got to take the opportunity to be in the right place at the right time. And, you know, through our love of books and authoring and writing, you know, we were able to be in that right place. So, you know, where can...
See, being a book geek pays off.
Right, exactly.
It pays off. And hanging out in honorary space is always tons of fun. I have met, like I said, some of the most amazing, amazing people. And I'm so glad that I got to meet you and potentially your wife. Hopefully I can bring her on the show too. We talked about that before we hit record.
Yes.
That will be so fun. So before we sign off, what would you like our listeners to know? Is there any last inspirations or little golden nuggets that you want to share?
Yeah, I think the main thing is to understand that, you know, being unbreakable, I always say this, being unbreakable is not breaking.
Mm.
You're going to break, but being unbreakable is, you know, embracing those broken moments and redefining yourself for your future so that you can, you know, live an unbreakable life. And that's what it's about. So don't be afraid of those broken moments. You're going to break. Just learn more about yourself so that you can, you know, define your future afterwards so that you can be unbreakable throughout the rest of your life. So really, really think about that. Come and join me and let's do this journey together.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for sharing what you do here, Tony. I will put everything in the show notes. Remember what he said, share this out, make sure the right people hear about his work, his book, and all of the amazing products and resources he has so that we can continue to inspire more people into being unbreakable. Thanks so much. We'll see you again soon.